take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In these days of uncertainty, there's one thing that every believer can rest his heart upon. God's Word stands sure. The Lord said in Matthew 24, verses 35, He said, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. 2 Timothy 2:19 declares, The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Here's the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, when we talk about the foundation of God, that foundation that stands sure, it stands sure because it's built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, His church, His bride. And that church that stands sure has this stamp or this signet of being genuine. This is the stamp. This is the assurance. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows them as being the gift from His Father. He knows those for whom He died. And He knows those who have been made willing in the day of His power to, by faith, cast themselves upon Him. He loves them. He's not going to leave them. He's not going to forsake them. So it doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter. All things are being ordered by God Almighty. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now let me tell you what we need to do. Thank Him. In all things, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning His people. Now I want to give us, just Lord willing, from the Scriptures some comfort. I want us to consider a passage of Scripture that gives a struggling and needy saint a firm foundation upon which to rest. A passage that, for the moment, while everything seems to be crumbling around us, assures the vessels of God's mercy everything is okay. Now, I need to hear this. I need to hear that everything's okay. In this passage, the Spirit of God has moved upon the Apostle Paul to deal with two groups of people. Us and them. We and they. And with the dealing between these two groups, I want us to realize that there's one distinguishing difference between them. The grace of God. It's the only difference. Because, but for the grace of God, there wouldn't be any difference. It wouldn't be any us and them. They and us. Now, the Apostle Paul began dealing with the subject we're going to look at for a few minutes in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And he was dealing with the second coming of Christ. He said in verse 16 to 18, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So let me say this in obedience to the Lord's command, a word of comfort. To all that believe and have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and cast himself upon him. Listen, the Lord's coming back. The Lord's coming back. And he's coming back to get his people. And it's going to be that time that we shall, if we're on this earth alive, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are still alive are then going to be caught up with them in the air. And we're going to be with the Lord, listen, forever. Forever. Now, having spoken concerning the second coming of Christ, the Apostle Paul now continues with that thought, starting where we're going to look at for the first, 1 to 10 verses. He says in verse 1 and 2, but of the times. Now he's coming back. We know that. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we know he's coming, but we don't know when he's coming. But we know that when he does come, it's going to be suddenly. The Lord spoke of this. If you want to turn, hold your place, turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and I'll read verses 42 to 44. Matthew 24. The Lord said concerning his second coming, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I've said before, you could ask someone, do you think the Lord's coming back really in this hour? This hour right now. You think he's coming back right now? You think it's going to be the last hour? I don't think so. I said, well, it'll be an hour just like this when you don't think he's coming. When you don't expect him. It'll be over in a moment. Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to say this in 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when men are not expecting it, like a thief that comes in the night, you don't expect, that's when he's coming. Back in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, it says, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, when the Lord returns, He'll come when many that are unconverted. Now, this is the they. When they shall say, not us. The Scriptures had said in verse 1, the times and the season, ye that we have no need that I run to you for yourselves. No, the Lord, day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. But when those that don't know him, when they say peace and safety, when those that are unconverted are placing all their hope and security in that which is not going to stand, men's going to be speaking of peace and safety, peace within their deceived hearts, supposing that they're safe from God's judgment because of their false hope and their own works. They're going to be comforting one another. and the suddenness of the pain of their destruction is going to come upon them as the labor pains of a woman giving birth. Now, men, we don't know a whole lot about that. But I do know just enough to know that when those pains start coming, they came when you knew about when they were going to come. A woman knows about when to come. But when they come, all of a sudden, they were there. And based on the little bit that I know, obviously they're severe. And the Lord is saying, now when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh as travail upon a woman with child. And they're not going to escape. It'll be so fast and so sudden and so destructive. But in the midst of the horror and the surprise of many who have placed their confidence in the frailty of their own flesh, nonetheless, there's going to be found a people who were watching. They didn't know. They didn't know when the Lord was coming. They knew He was coming. They knew it was going to be in a day when they didn't expect it, but here it is. Verse 4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. By the mercy and compassion of Almighty God, many have been made ready by the Spirit's power in regenerating grace." And though it was expected, and they knew that it was certain, when He does come, they're not going to be found in the darkness of ignorance and unbelief. God's people right now have this attitude: Lord, keep me ready. I want to be ready. Do you think He's coming today? I don't know. I don't know. So many times I don't even think about it. I'm going about doing my own business and stuff, and I'm not just sitting there just watching the skies. I know it. And being in that state, Lord, don't leave me to myself. What has happened with them being ready? The Lord has shined in their heart and has given them the light of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God has given them faith to believe, and they've been made willing in the day of God's power to cast themselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ for life. And they've been taught, don't put any confidence in yourself. And they're ready. And this is what they're ready, and this is their constant attitude: Lord, make me ready. Lord, don't leave me alone. And He's promised He won't. But this is what they say: don't leave me alone. He's promised to robe them in righteousness. Lord, robe me. He saved them by His grace. And they say, Lord, save me. He's never forgotten them. And they say, Lord, remember me. God's people have been made alert. And those blessed of God were found to be something now that they weren't before. Look at verse 5. You're all the children of light, children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. There's going to be found in that day of the Lord some to whom the glorious gospel has been taught in power. And they, though they're continually struggling with the old man that opposes everything that is right and holy, they're truly awake. They're like the bride, Shulamite, who says, I sleep, but my heart's awake. And they know they're awake, and they know that there's a need of Him. And those blessed of God have been given a heart to cast themselves upon the mercy of God. They're not going to be found dead. in darkness and unbelief by the mercy of God, and they're alert to what's going on right now. I can tell you what a believer's thinking. You that believe right now, I'm going to tell you what you're thinking right now. Lord, I want to be alert. I want to be alert. When you don't know when it's going to come, and you know it's coming, you don't want to be found in a spirit of not caring and not looking. You don't want to be. Verse 6 and 7. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us seek and ask the Lord. Keep me, Lord, from the temptation of being found in that drowsy state of indifference. Lord, don't let me be taken up with the cares of this world. Lord, cause me to be watchful and spiritually discreet concerning my walk before You. Lord, remind me, I am a sojourner in this world. I'm not going to be here long, and You're not either. We think we are. We think, well, I'm not like all those people are getting older and stuff like that. My friend, you're going to turn around and be old if God doesn't take you before. I told you about, I was taking Glenn over to a doctor's appointment a few months ago. And I was standing there waiting, and a lady was talking to the receptionist. And the lady told the receptionist, she said, I just turned 90. And she said, you know how I got here? She said, I just woke up one morning and I was 90. All of a sudden. Lord, don't let me be lazy. Don't let me be left to myself, taken up, Lord, with this world and its lying materialism that would steal away the attention of sinners that's going to stand before God. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, alert, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. We're in a spiritual warfare. Now, we're in a warfare. Okay, sin, Satan, this world, but self. I am my worst enemy. There's a battle going on inside of me. And I need to be reminded of it. I know it's there. I need to be taught that the Lord has graciously provided spiritual armor. And we're admonished to be on guard from the fiery darts and attacks of the enemy. So the Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God to say, put on the breastplate of faith and love. And we do put it on when we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Put on by faith. What am I saying? I have no protection for my heart. I have no comfort from being kept, from being overcome, except I believe that the Lord is my protector, my help in the time of trouble. And that helmet of salvation, put the only thing that keeps my thoughts and passions and affections toward Him is that He is my salvation. Put that helmet of salvation on. That salvation that's totally of the Lord and not of me, my works. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to write these last two verses of Scripture. Verse 9 and 10. He said, you do be alert, be watchful, Take these words of admonition for, because, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now, all that He said, brethren, the Lord's coming back. Brethren, we don't know when He's coming. Brethren, don't be like those that say peace and safety, trusting in themselves. Brethren, you're not in darkness. God has opened your eyes and given you light and has shown you that you're children of the day, children of light. You're not of the darkness. God has saved you by His grace. Don't be asleep. Wake up like others. Watch and be sober. They sleep because they're of the night. They're drunken with the drunkenness of this world's false religion. But you that are of the day, be sober and put on that breastplate of faith, love, and a helmet of hope of salvation, because God has not appointed us to wrath. If the Lord had appointed us to wrath, He'd have left us to ourselves to do that which we wanted to do. But if the Lord has been pleased to give us some understanding concerning His love and compassion to helpless sinners like us, be thankful. If Almighty God has given you a heart to cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the Lord that made you willing. It wasn't you, it wasn't me. And you consider this truth, that the Lord has done what He's done for the remnant according to the election of grace, because it pleased Him to do so. The Lord was pleased. I know that this message of God's sovereign grace. Now you read this right here, you tell the world, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord. And I know what the old man is going to say. I know what the world and its false religion is going to say. It's going to say that's not fair. But as I've said before, if Almighty God, then it's going to be fair, just fair, and Adam all die. If the Lord had not left a remnant, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. And while men raised their hand of rebellion against God's sovereignty, if the Lord had not chosen a people, you listen, we're all going to die. And we deserve to die. But the Lord has not been pleased to allow mankind to be obliterated in justice. That's what we were all children of wrath, even as others. And God was pleased to save some people. And if the Lord would have dealt with us after our transgressions and iniquity, we'd all been cast into hell. We'd all heard these words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Every regenerated sinner is in agreement with that which was spoken by the prophet Micah. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. The Lord delighteth in mercy, because He did not appoint a people to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased the Father to bruise Him. and to put him to grief. Listen, God is not going to clear the guilty. Now here's the amazing truth. God made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, God made him sin. Took that which was ours and he made it his. He said, mine iniquities are more than the hairs of my head. So he who was made sin for us was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who bore our sins and carried our sorrows, the sorrows and sins of his people. Verse 10 says again, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we're alive or we've died in the faith, we're going to live with him. Now, again, in closing, I know that the world despises this message of hope in Christ. Hope that is based totally upon the mercy and good pleasure of God. But every sinner that has been made sensible of his need, let me tell you something. This is the greatest story you've ever heard. The greatest message you've ever heard. The greatest truth. The greatest news you've ever heard. And the evidence of having an interest in this blessing is we believe God. And we don't put any confidence in our flesh. If the Lord has caused his glory. Remember when Moses said, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And what was the Lord's answer? He said, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And then I've told you many times, the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to take that passage of Scripture and in Romans chapter 9, say this, continuing the thought of that truth. So then, it is not of him that willeth, or him that runneth, but of God that shows mercy. The Scripture has declared that Almighty God has a people, that he's not going to let perish. He has not appointed us to wrath. He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what the believer is going to say? The one that has been given the heart to realize what is being said here is going to say, Lord, like that thief again, remember me. Lord, don't pass me by. Remember when the Lord was walking out on the water and he walked as if he would have gone by? And he cried out to him, Lord, don't pass me by. Lord, don't leave me to my fickle self. My rebellious and arrogant self. Because if you do, I'm going to die. He's going to put me in hell. If God be for us, who can be against us? I pray that the Lord bless this to our heart. Pray that the Spirit of God be pleased to comfort God's people. Call out His sheep for His glory and our eternal good. Amen.